The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simin Tes, the halachas of tzitzis, the laws of tzitzis, sif vav. If one did not cut the threads one from the other, meaning he did not take four separate strings and stick them through the hole in the corner, rather, he took one very long thread, the he folded it over in four, folded it over twice, so he now has four threads, four strings, but they're all connected. And this is the way he inserted them into the hole. And he tied them. And maybe he wrapped around. He made the bound segments, as we discussed. And afterwards, he cut the edges. He severed them. These tzitzis are invalid. Because it says in the verse, you should make gedilim, fringes for yourself, tzitzis. V'darshinan, and our rabbis teach us that we're supposed to extrapolate from this verse tas, that you should make them properly. V'loimin also, not that they should already be made and then they become valid. Pirish, this means to say. Divainan, that we require sheyihu atzitzis b'shas asiyasa nalhabeged kahalacha. That the tzitzis, at the time that you're making them on the garment, should be done properly, should be done legally valid, in a way which is legally valid. Not that they should be made in an invalid manner. And afterward, they should become kosher, they should become valid and proper through some other action that you do. That they are found, it comes out, that they are made properly. This is invalid. One cannot do that. Therefore, in our case, since the law requires one should have four separate strings, if one first put these strings through the garment and tied them and then cut them, so now we have four separate strings, it's too late. Since it was made in an invalid manner, one cannot afterwards fix it. You would have to take the tzitzis apart and then retie them in order to make them valid. V'chein, and similarly, if the tzitzis strings were made properly on a different garment, you put the tzitzis strings in that garment properly, you tied them properly, then v'nikra ha-beged, that garment tore, v'raitza Allah says, as tzitzis kach v'beged acher, and you want to put the tzitzis strings just the way they are, fully formed, in a second garment. Even in the same garment. Now, how would you manage to do that? How do you how do you put it on the garment? The answer is, for example, if the garment ripped from the hole in which you put the tzitzis until the edge of the garment through the hem, and then the strings fell out. You just want to replace the tzitzis, the strings, to their place. Then you want to sew the garment underneath them, in between the loop. And you want to sew it up again until, from the edge of the garment until the hole. So the tzitzis will end up back in the hole. This is also invalid. Because now that you are putting the tzitzis strings back in the garment, as of now, the tzitzis are invalid because the garment, the hole is not proper, the corner is totally ripped off. And now you're going to sew the garment and make the tzitzis valid. It's too late. You have to first sew off the garment, take apart it, untie the tzitzis, and then retie them onto the garment properly. The chen, and so too, in kosher as at tzitzis. You tied on these tzitzis strings at a time when the garment was exempt from the obligation of tzitzis. Going, for example, shehaya rubay tafur, a majority of the sides of the garment were sewn up, as we discussed earlier in Sif Aleph, that a majority of the sides of the garment have to be untied, unsewn, open, and you put these tzitzis strings when the garment was completely or majority sewn up. And afterwards you undid some of the stitches. You untied some of the stitches at Sherubai Pasuach until now a majority of the sides are open, the Chayiv Tzitzis, and now this garment is obligated in the command of Tzitzis. In Yisharu HaTzitzis, Kemai Shehein, if you will leave the strings tied the way they are, Gam Kem Psuon, they are also invalid, Mishum Tasev Lemon, also because of this principle of Tasev Lemon, also that you have to make them properly the first time, not that you put them in and then afterwards cause them to become valid. And Ella, rather, in all these cases, tzarech lehatir, that tzitzis, one has to untie these tzitzis strings from the garment, the lachzor lekashra and kehalacha, and to retie them in a legally valid manner, v'chein kol k'yitzav, and so to any other similar type of situation where the tzitzis, while they're put on the garment, were invalid for some reason. For example, the garment only had three corners and not four corners. Even if afterwards one cut the fourth corner and made it into a corner, the tzitzis that were already on the garment are pasul, are invalid, and one would have to untie them and retie them onto the garment. Sif Zayin. Kaidem she is atif betalis. Before one wraps himself in a talis, in a garment which has tzitzis on it, he's obligated to check the strings to make sure they are still valid. It's meaning that they didn't rip in a way which would invalidate them. And we will discuss later on in the simon how much of a rip would invalidate the tzitzis, but you have to check to make sure they are still legally valid. You also have to check the strings that are in the hole when they're put in into the garments, meaning the part that's literally lying on the garment itself. The asakrichas, you also have to check the bound segments, the part where the one string is wound around the others, make sure that the strings are all complete and not severed and not ripped in those parts. And one should also separate these strands, the part which are not bound together. They're obligated to be separated and not tangled. They should not be tightly tangled one with the other, because the obligation of tzitzis is really to have two segments. You have one part which is bound together and another part which is separated strings. Therefore, one has to make sure that the strings and the separated part are indeed separate. However, the Kitzur tells us, if a person delayed in coming to shul, in coming to the synagogue, that while he is involved in taking the time to separate his tzitzis, to separate the strings and to check them, making sure that they are still valid, he will be unable to pray with the congregation. He is so late that if he takes the extra few moments to check his tzitzis, he will miss praying with the congregation. He does not have to check them, or to separate them. As far as checking them, he could rely on what is known as a chazaka. He could rely on the status quo. If he knows that yesterday these tzitzis were valid, he has the legal right to assume, that things remain as is. The status quo has not changed. And therefore, he could rely that they are still valid. If he has time, one should not rely on the chazaka. One should rather make sure, he should check them. However, in a time like this, he could rely on the fact that he knows they were valid yesterday. And as far as separating them, it seems that the kitzur holds that is only something, the optimal way of doing things, that they should be separated, but it's not something which will invalidate the tzitzis. And therefore, in a case like this, where one does not have time, one does not have to separate them. The Mishnah Berurah, however, brings opinions that the tzitzis are completely invalid if they are not separated, And therefore, it seems that he leans to try to be extra careful to really make sure, at least to separate the strings, even if one does not have time to check them. Additionally, this checking does not have to be done in the morning before you put on the garment. This could be done after you take off the garment. There's the last time you wore these tzitzis, let's say it's your talis that you wear in shul, in the synagogue. After the morning prayers, you take off your talis, you fold it up, you put it away. If one were to check the tzitzis at that time, there's no reason to assume that anything happened to them while they were sitting nicely in the bag, in their cubby. And therefore, one would not have to check them in the morning. Similarly, his talis katan, the small garment that he wears all day, if he checked it when he took it off the night before, he would not have to check it in the morning. Sifches. Kol ha-mitzvahs, all mitzvahs, all positive commandments that a person fulfills, mevarich amlehen oiver la'asiyasan. A person is obligated to make the blessing oiver la'asiyasan, which means, pirish explanation of that is, kaitan asiyah, before you do the mitzvah. Before you blow shofar, you have to make the blessing. Before you fulfill any mitzvah, before you eat matzah, before you do any positive command, one should make the blessing. And after one makes the blessing, take it from the yad immediately, tzarech la'aseh says ha-mitzvah, b'li hesek, one has to actually do the mitzvah, fulfill the mitzvah, fulfill the command, without any appreciable amount of delay, without any unnecessary interruption. L'chein, therefore, when a person comes to say the blessing on his talis, so he has to balance both of these factors. He doesn't want to put the talis on first and then say the blessing, because that would not be oiver la'asiyasan. The blessing would not be before the mitzvah. On the other hand, he does not want to leave the talis on the table, say the blessing, and then pick it up and put it on, because that is too far in advance. That would cause him unnecessary delay between the blessing and actually putting on the talis. So therefore, eiches as a talis b'shtei yadav, a person should hold the talis with both of his hands. And he should have the following intentions in his mind. Shetzivanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Holy One, blessed be He, Hashem commanded us, le'hisatef bat tzitzis, to wrap ourselves in this garment which has tzitzis upon it. Kidei shenizkar is called mitzvayisav, in order for us to remember all of His commands, ma'asayisav, so that we should do them. We should fulfill them, shenem, as it says in the verse. U'isem ha'isay, and you will see the tzitzis. And you will remember all the commandments of Hashem. So we see that is an integral part, an integral reason for the command of tzitzis, and therefore one should have that intention in mind while he is putting on the tzitzis. So now he has the garment in his hand, he has this intention in his mind. He should say the blessing while standing. That is optimally. If he is sitting, he has fulfilled his obligation. But optimally, he should be standing. And he should say the blessing, L'hisatev bat tzitzis, that you're blessing Hashem, who commanded us to wrap ourselves with tzitzis, with a garment that has tzitzis on it. And the proper vocalization of the word bat tzitzis, the beis is pronounced ba, ha-beis b'patach, with the vowel patach underneath it. The Mishnah Berurah says the beis should be with a shva vowel underneath it, bitzitzis. However, the common custom is like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that one says the blessing lehisatev batzitzis, which really is a contraction of the word bihatzitzis with the tzitzis, the definite article, and that is the general custom. Lehisatev miyad, and immediately he should wrap himself as reisha, his head, amlamata mipiv, as he should put the talus down to below his mouth, one edge of the talus, he should be put over his head and then down to right below his mouth. Afterwards, he should gather together all the four corners of the garment, and he should put the corners over one shoulder by his neck. He should remain wrapped like the way Arabs wrap themselves around their head and around their head, the yamei kach, and you stand like that, k'dehim l'chdal ames, for the amount of time it takes to walk 4 cubits, approximately 6 to 8 feet, And you should say the verses that are found in the Siddur, Mayaka Vigaymer, one looks in the Siddur. By the order of putting on his talus in the morning, one will find the verses that one is supposed to recite. And after that, one could remove the talus from his head and drape it on his body the way he would like to wear it for the rest of the prayers. It is proper to be careful not to drag the tzitzis strings on the ground. You should not allow the tzitzis strings to drag on the ground because of the denigration of the mitzvah. It's not appropriate that an item which is used for a mitzvah should be dragging on the ground. So therefore, one should be careful about that. Therefore, yagbihen, you should lift up the strings from off the ground. He is able to tuck them into his belt if he so desires. Siftes. A person should not make the blessing on the tzitzis only by day, not by night. This is because the verse tells us, and you should see the tzitzis, and the Talmud teaches us that means that the nighttime is not a time when people see things, it's dark, and therefore that's not the time to wear tzitzis. Therefore, one is not supposed to say a blessing on the tzitzis at night because that is not the time to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. A person should be careful not to make the blessing on the tzitzis until it is so far into the day that it is light enough to be able to distinguish between the color of tchelos, which is a bluish color, and the color of lavan, meaning at the time when we had the color tchelos, and one or two of the strings in the tzitzis were colored this bluish color, were to look at his tzitzis and be able to differentiate between the two different colors of the strings, and that's the time that one is optimally allowed to say the blessing on his tzitzis. And there's a great disagreement exactly when that time is, ranging anywhere from 36 minutes before sunrise to much earlier, 60 minutes possibly before sunrise. And one should ask their personal rav what time they should follow. One of a person put on his garment of tzitzis, his small garment of tzitzis that he wears throughout the day, while it is still nighttime, and therefore he properly did not say the blessing upon it. Or he put the tzitzis on while his hands were not clean, as the tzitzis really mentioned in the laws of Netilas Yadayim, that one should really put his tzitzis on first, before his hands are clean. And therefore he properly did not say a blessing because his hands were still unclean. Azai, then, when he says the blessing on the enlarged talus that he puts on in the synagogue, he should have intentions when he says this blessing, Gamal talus katan, that blessing should cover the talus katan also. And it seems that's the appropriate way to do things. Shabura certainly makes a point that the custom, general custom, is that one who wears a talus gadol, one who is going to wear a talus in shul, should not say a blessing on the talus katan, on the tzitzis that he puts on in the morning. He should rather wait until he gets to shul, say a blessing on the talus gadol, and that blessing will cover both the talus gadol and the tzitzis that he is wearing under his garment. Well, misha ain like talus gadol, and a person who does not have a talus gadol, he's not going to wear a talus gadol. In levish as a talus katan b'yam, if he's wearing, puts on his tzitzis during the daytime, the yadim nikiyas, and his hands are clean, yivarech alav al mitzvah tzitzis, he should say the blessing commanded. We thank Hashem for commanding us about the command of tzitzis. Havav v'patach, it's al mitzvah tzitzis, not mitzvahs, which is plural, rather mitzvah, which is singular, the mitzvah of tzitzis. However, if you are putting on your tzitzis garments at a time you are unable to make a blessing, for example at night or when your hands are unclean, and you are not going to wear a talus gadol later, then afterwards, when it is daytime, and his hands are clean, he should take the tzitzis, the strings in his hands, hold them in his hands, and he should say the blessing then, al mitzvah tzitzis, and that is sufficient. V'miyashay mitalas katan, if a person slept overnight in his talas katan, in his tzitzis, lo yivarech alav achakach kal, he should not say a blessing on them afterwards in the morning at all, because he wore them the whole night. Ach kishem yivarech al talas gadol, however, when he puts on a talas gadol, yechavim lepaitu, he should have intentions to exempt the talas katan through the blessing on the talas gadol. And the Mishabura says that really you should try to make sure to hear the blessing of tzitzis from somebody else. If you're not yourself going to wear a talas gadol, so you can't do this, so at least you should try to hear the blessing from somebody else who is wearing a talas gadol, or who is putting on their tzitzis and saying a bracha, and saying the blessing of either al mitzvah tzitzis or his atef bat tzitzis. Sifyot. Ha-paishe tam lisai, one who takes off, he removes his garment, his talas, and he has intentions to put it on right away, meaning within a short period of time. Even if he went to the bathroom, and the custom is one does not wear the talis gadol in the bathroom because it is a garment designated for prayer, it's not appropriate to bring it into the bathroom. Still, when he returns and puts back on the talis, he should not make a second blessing on it. Kevan sins to mitzad adin, since according to the letter of the law, mutar lalachas bela beis hakise, is permitted to walk into the bathroom wearing the talis gadol. Lachin, therefore, I have a hefsek, this is not considered an interruption in the blessing, and the blessing that you made when you first put it on still covers the second wearing of the talis. Aval, however, if your intention was not to put it back on right away, you intended to leave it off for a long time, and you changed your mind, and then you put it back on again within a short period of time, still, one has to say a new blessing because his old blessing is gone because he had in his mind to take it off for an extended period of time. The definition of an extended period of time is not 100% clear. One should ask their Rav, how long is it? It's half an hour, it's an hour. Exactly what constitutes a long time, what constitutes a short amount of time. If a person's talus fell off of him, shalevim miskaven, unawares, unintentionally, in mitzvah nishra agufa, if a part of it remained on his body, afal pisha rubai nafal, even though a majority of the talus fell off, kevan sin shenisha amok tzas mina mitzvah, since a part of the mitzvah still remained on his body, he does not have to say the blessing again when he fixes it on his body, and then he could even take it off totally in order to fix it better, because since the original blessing is still extant, because the mitzvah never stopped without his intent, so he could even take the talus off now in order to better enable himself to fix it on his body. Aval, however, in loy nishar klom al gufa, if none of the talus, no part of the talus remained on his body, af al pi, even though she'achazai biyada, he held it in his hand, he grabbed it before it fell to the ground, kevan since the loy nishar meha mitzvah al gufa, since none of the mitzvah, none of the commandment was left on his body, which is not a fulfillment of the command of wearing tzitzis, to ha'ena mitzvah lechaz the talus biyada, the commandment is not to hold the garment in your hand, but to wrap your body in it. Therefore, one has to make another blessing, say another blessing, when he puts it on again. The Iran came between us, if this happened to him in the middle of the prayers, in a place that he is not allowed to interrupt and say the blessing on the tzitzis, he should not say the blessing then, it will be an interruption. Ella, rather, he should wait until he is able to say the blessing, until he has reached a point in the prayers where he is able to talk and to interrupt and say the blessing on the tzitzis. He should hold the strings in his hand and say the blessing. Sifyut Aleph. A person is allowed to take his friend's garment, his friend's talus, on a very temporary basis, once in a while. It should not become a common thing and a frequent habit. Once in a while, you left your talus at home and your friend is not in shul that day, you could borrow your friend's talus, even without your friend knowing about it. Le'espalo, but in order for you to pray with it, u'levarich lav, and you can even say a blessing. Mishum, because the mistama nichon le'inish, probably a person is happy de'li'avid mitzvah v'mayne, that a commandment should be fulfilled using his money, b'makom she'ein chisar nekis, in a place where he does not lose anything by it. He does not lose any money by thereby, because the talis will remain just as usable and will not get ruined in any way by one person wearing it once. And therefore, one can make the assumption that your friend would agree for you to borrow it, and not only to borrow it, but even to acquire it so that the talis will be yours. And you can say a blessing, because the law is, on a borrowed talis, one does not say a blessing. One only says a blessing on his own talis. So we're assuming that the person allows you to acquire his talis, and then you'll give it back. However, that point about making a blessing on it is there's a disagreement among the Paiskim. The Mishnah Berurah comes out, one should not say a blessing. Rather, one should have intentions not to acquire it. He should have specific intentions only to borrow it, and then he won't get involved in any questions. He will not have to say a blessing. That's what Mishnah Berurah says one should do. A person may not remove the talis from the house that it is resting in, meaning if you were in shul, you can't take the talis out of shul. Maybe your friend would be upset about this. And if the talis was folded up, you have to refold it, and you have to make sure to refold it the same way it was folded originally. Except with Shabbos, on Shabbos, when a person is not allowed to refold it, because that is considered preparation, that is one of the laws of Shabbos, one is not allowed to refold something on the creases, and the laws of Shabbos will be discussed. The Kevan She'en Mekapla Mishum Issa Shabbos, since he is not folding it due to the prohibition of Shabbos prohibition of folding the garment, Chaver Emaychala, we assume that his friend forgives him and would allow him to not fold it. And it is permitted. However, the place can point out that this is not something to rush to do. Especially nowadays, not everyone is so happy that people should use their garments. Certainly one has to be extra careful to make sure it doesn't get ruined at all, it doesn't get sweaty, it doesn't get dirty. You end up folding it back and putting it exactly in the right place. There's a lot of details you have to be extra careful about, and therefore one should really not rush to do something like this. Preferably one should use the shul's talis. Nowadays, almost every shul has an extra talis or two. If you forgot your talis at home, it would be preferable to use the talis that belongs to the shul. Continues the Kitzur, V'ashayel mechaveir a talis, one who borrows a talis from his friend, rak malas b'la Torah, just to use to get an aliyah, to go to read the Torah. Yesh safek, there is a doubt, in levarich olav, if he is obligated to say a blessing. Okay, and therefore, Yiskavin, he should have intent, you the borrower should have intent, she'enei reitzel l'knesai, that you do not wish to acquire this garment. And then, l'kuliyama, according to all opinions, ein tzarech levarich, one does not have to say a blessing, as we mentioned before, that when one only borrows a garment, he does not have to, he's not obligated, and he's not supposed to, say a blessing on it. Aval, however, our talis, our call on the communal talis, the talis belonging to the shul, let's tell you, even if a person only takes it in order to get an aliyah, in order to do something that one only wears a talis because of the honor of the congregation, still, tzarech levarich olav, a person has to say a blessing upon that. To have the kishalai, because it's like if it belongs to him, because the communal talis belongs to every member of the community. And therefore, if you take it, it's your talis that you're putting on to wear to get an aliyah, and therefore you should make a blessing. This certainly would seem to be the letter of the law. However, it is clear that most people do not have this custom. Most people put on a talis, even the shul's talis, and they do not say a blessing. That is certainly the general custom. One should follow whoever the custom his rav, whoever his rav tells him to do. If one would like to see more information about the topics presented in this year, one could go to the resource page on kitzur365.org.